can we? Let us start. We've got a full agenda. As you know, the well, let me first give you the bad news. It's always good to start the bad news after a lovely holiday. We did lodge an application for the trip to China. I've not been officially told, but I've heard through the grapevine that apparently all state trips for the rest of the term are not going to be allowed, for whatever reason. I'm not sure what it is. So it may be that it's problematic now. Let's wait for the official. I suppose that's better. But I do think that this lack of trips is not going to take place. Which means that we may have to look at other oversight activities for the recess period. But when I know more, I'll let you know. Secondly, I know there are a few people that are absent. I know that Mr. Skosana is a dead with flu, and Ms. Ferguson will join us later. Then thirdly, can I apologize for not being here last Wednesday. I also felt sick, and I've been in bed, and you can hear I'm at the end of my flu. Well, I hope so. That's it, to be making a comeback. Let's try and get work done. We've got a bill to do with today. You know that the NEMLA 1 has been passed by the NCOP, but with amendments. So we'll be dealing with that first today. And then we have the report back, which we should have had last week when I fell sick, on the air quality standards. Which we'll have today, which is just really a report back to us in terms of what's happening. I think that's the agenda for today.
Sorry, Jeff, my name is Wenger, is overseas. She did tend to her problem.
Okay, sorry, let's get that. Ms. Wenger, overseas, also tenders her apologies. Chileka, I hope you have voting fodder for us. What's your quorum? Well, it's only when we vote, but I mean, make sure, how many do we need?
Eight.
How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Where's the 6 one?
Where's the 6 one? 2, 4, oh, there, 6. Pumzile and Sana is not here, Ferguson's coming. Pumzile and Ferguson will make it, okay? Just make sure it's 8, the quorum. All right, you have your documents in front of you. I think the best way to deal with it, the way I found it easier, is to take our amendment, our amended bill, if I can find it, and then we look at the amendments from the NCOP in that bill. So this one called Select Committee Amendments 2. That's the their and our amendments together now. And then this page is their amendments. So if you look at this and you compare it, you'll be able to see. And then of course the usual thing is we've also asked them to do us all the amendments, to put them in the Act itself, so you can read the whole Act with all the amendments. They should be in color. Yellow is what we did, and green is what the NCOP did. And then you should have another document explaining the one clause that has been removed. A one-page document, or two-page. Okay, everyone happy? You got those documents? Now, the first amendment is a simple one, which shouldn't be problematic. Now, the problem, of course, is the numbers are different. The first amendment, if you look at it, it's on page 3. Yeah, the word in the definition of biodiversity sector, the first definition, after the word involving, there were the word were there was biodiversity. They're now removing that and putting indigenous biological. So instead of biodiversity, it's indigenous biological. So it now reads, biodiversity sector means any sector or subsector that carries out restricted activities involving indigenous biological resources whether for commercial or for conservation purposes. So it's not just biodiversity resources, it's indigenous biological. I'm not sure why we're narrowing it, I guess. That's a narrowing of why we're doing that.
I think this was a comment that was raised by, I think, the Western Cape Provincial Legislature about the word indigenous biological resources is consistently used in the Biodiversity Act. So they prefer that we continue using that word instead of putting it as a biodiversity resource.
So this will be consistently without?
Yes.
So our biodiversity sector will have nothing to do with not indigenous. That's the effect of that. Are you sure you want it like that? Doesn't our act also deal with non-indigenous issues?
I think we need to check that.
But otherwise you see you're narrowing it only to that.
Yeah. No, I get the point.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but you said this is consistent throughout the act.
Yes.
So I have to amend that throughout.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any comments from the members on this amendment? They'll have to come back to us, okay, because I mean it does seem to me, I can see what they're trying to do, but I'm sure the Biodiversity Act deals with all aspects of the biodiversity, not just our own indigenous biological resources, so they may have to relook that, but for now, in any case, we're leaving it like that. All right, the next amendment is because of, it's a consequential amendment because of an amendment elsewhere. Now, maybe we should go and look at that elsewhere before we get here. You remember this act has got competent authority, which is a definition on page 3.
The issuing authority.
It's the issuing authority. Yes, I know that, ma'am. I'm just trying to explain. Competent authority is on page 3. And then they also have this thing called issuing authority, which is on the next page, page 4. So there's two authorities in the Act. Now, it wasn't very clear in the Act exactly which authorities were falling under which level of government. So they've now included a new clause 87A called the issuing authority, and it reads, the minister is the issuing authority responsible for deciding the application for a permit for the carrying out of a restricted activity involving a specimen of a listed threatened or protected species in a national protected area that is a marine species, or applied for by an official on behalf of a provincial department or provincial organ of state responsible for the conservation of biodiversity in a province, a national protected area, the South African National Biodiversity Institute,
or an organ of state in the national sphere of government. B, the import, export, re-export, or introduction from the sea of a specimen of a species listed in terms of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wildlife, wild fauna and flora, originating from a national protected area that is a marine species or applied for by an official on behalf of, then it's the same as previously, exactly. C, the carrying out of a restricted activity involving a specimen of an alien or a listed invasive species. D, the commercialization phase of bioprospecting involving any indigenous biological resources, or the export of any indigenous biological resources from the Republic for the purpose of bioprospecting. So those are all the issues where the minister, the national minister, is the issuing authority. That wasn't clear from the Act. Then the MSC is the issuing authority responsible for deciding application for any permit not listed in one, so anything the minister is not responsible for. And then three, notwithstanding subsections 1 and 2, the minister and the MSC may in writing agree that any application for a permit or a type of permit contained in section 1 may be decided by the MSC or other way around, because the MSC can be decided by the minister where there is an agreement between them. Alright, so it makes it much clearer now where the permits fall, particularly important in terms of rhinos and so on, and other endangered species. I've had a good look at this clause. It seems to me to be fine. Anyone has any comments on it? All happy?
Yes.
Okay, that seemed to make it clearer. Now, then you come back to the consequential amendments, because now, of course, there's a new 87A, and it has to be reflected in the definition clause.
Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe it would be wiser for the rest of my time if you read us page 3, what page we are.
This is page 3 of the amendments itself,
mm-hmm.
And page... Just look at the amendments, how I've read it there, at the bottom of page 2. The NCOP amendments. This one here. And in the joint bill, it's on page 10. Maybe you'll find it there. I think you're reading page 10. The new clause 87A. You got it there.
Yes.
That's what I've just read.
Yes.
So that's the whole clause. And then you come back to page 4 of that amendment of yours. Then you'll see there's in J, 20 lines from the top. After minister, the words as contemplated in section 87A 1 or 3. And under B, the MSC as contemplated in section 87A 2 or 3. So those are your consequential amendments referring back. Anyone have any problems with that? Technically it seems correct like that. Okay? Everyone happy? Alright. Then, so that's all the amendments to clause 1 plus the amendments, the new clause that's been put in. Now clause 2, there's an amendment. Replace 51 with 2. Now, I don't know which 2 it is. Which 2 is there? 3 2s there. Which one is in the heading?
Yes.
So in the heading there was a 51, clause 51, section 51. It should read section 2. Okay? You got that? That's just a technical amendment. Everyone happy? Okay. Then the third amendment is clause 10. Page 7. At the top, line 4, after word publishing, it's a comma, then you add the words amending or repealing. So it's before publishing, amending or repealing a notice in terms of subsection 1. That is just to give the full extent of the power that the minister has, not just publishing or the amending or repealing. Everyone happy? It seems fine, technically. Fine. Then clause 20 is the one that's been rejected. Now, this little one page here, that is 20, why it's been rejected. But basically, it deals with a fund. Maybe I should say, you explain this, inshallah. Just briefly.
Okay. Thanks, Professor. Basically, this comment was raised during the public participation process in the NCP. We were requested to basically provide members with an indication whether National Treasury actually agreed to the interim arrangement that the trust fund be there should be a success suspense account established within the department. They basically want some sort of a proof whether National Treasury actually agreed in writing. And we then went back to the department, and then we looked for that particular approval. And what we discovered was that there was an agreement with National Treasury in terms of the department establishing a suspense account to deal with this particular amount, because it's not an amount that should go to National Treasury, but it's an amount that should go to beneficiaries. And the difficulty then, when we were actually looking for the actual letter, we find it challenging to actually find the letter. And we couldn't provide that in writing to say National Treasury actually is the letter that comes from National Treasury, basically agreeing. But there is communication to that effect that was sent from our department to National Treasury, basically dealing with this particular issue. So on that basis, then the National Council of Provinces decide that this clause should be rejected because we could not actually provide them with the because that requirement, it was indicated that it requires in terms of the PFMA, specifically section 33.3, that any draft legislation that excludes money from payment into the National Revenue Fund may be introduced in Parliament only after the minister has been consulted on the reasonableness of the exclusion and has consented to the exclusion. So the consent was supposed to be has to be in writing. So failure from our side to actually do that, then the NCOP felt that then they should not fully agree to this clause. I think that was mainly the reason that clause was rejected. Yes, Mr. President.
And you don't have a problem with not having this clause? You do have a problem.
At the moment, Chairperson, because we are also in the process of reviewing the biodiversity, the whole biodiversity legislation, we feel that if we don't do this amendment now, but that may give us time to actually then look at it when we deal with the comprehensive amendments to the biodiversity act. So we feel that
I thought you guys would be clever and tell them that this bill had been approved by cabinet, and that cabinet's decision by all ministers plus the president together clearly succeeds one minister's agreement who was part of cabinet, and you don't need to have fighting for that. But okay, you didn't tell them that and they dropped the clause. Any comments on this? It seems that because the department said that they don't really need this clause for now and they're reviewing the act, I've not taken the route of us then referring this matter to a mediation committee, because it's a 76 bill, and if the NCOP changes something that we don't agree, the only way that we can sort out is to have a mediation committee that Parliament sets up. But that's a whole process you go through and it takes time. This bill, as you know, is urgent for us to get through to pass the regulations for the rhinos and so on. And seeing as that fund not necessary, as I said, it's a very simple answer to this. This is came to Parliament as dropped legislation. The whole cabinet, not just the Minister of Finance, had agreed to it. And clearly that is the whole government that's agreed to it, not one minister. That should have been suffice if it was explained to the NCOP. But being that as a mayor, I'm suggesting that let's accept this, and they can then deal with it when they bring their further amendments and so on, because at the moment it's not a huge problem. There is in any case a suspense account that exists where this money is kept for beneficiaries until such time. Anyone have any comment on this matter? Are you happy to deal with it like that? Okay. All right. You guys, you see, this is one problem I have. Is when things are happening in the NCOP like this, you guys should be consulting me as the chair of the committee.
Yes.
So then I can tell you much easier how to resolve these issues. Mm. The problem is once they've passed it, then the only way to deal with it is to call a mediation committee. Now then it's a whole rigmarole. I mean, and particularly now at the end of the term. So these things must be brought to my attention earlier. We can then, if you come and show me what is their problem, we can tell them that there's no problem. The cabinet has approved this legislation, not just the minister. He's part of that cabinet. Okay. So this is the thing of communications. What is the problem? Okay. So that is the rejection of clause 20. We've already dealt with a new clause in 87. So that we've done. Clause 30. To omit paragraph L. What was paragraph L? We obviously don't have it here now because it's been deleted. So what was
it? It's a consequential amendment because it was an amendment linked to the bioprospecting trust fund.
Oh, so it's removed because of that?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone happy with that? It's a consequential amendment?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Thank you. Clause 36. I think the numbers are wrong here because it says page 15, which it is on page 15, but then it says line 11, and line 11 is actually clause 35. So I'm not sure your lines are correct. So explain to us, because of that I can't, is it the next clause you're talking about, clause 36, starting on line 16? So is the first item in A?
Yes, those are the items.
Was it section before?
Yeah.
And all of them, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, they're all item now.
Yes.
So you took out section, put item.
Yes.
Okay, well that's the correct technical way of doing it. You don't refer to section, refer to item. Everyone happy with that? All right, and then there's a specific insertion. Because we inserted clause 87A, C is now an insertion which includes the words 87A issuing authority. That's the heading. Again, it's a technical consequential amendment. Everyone happy?
Yes.
Fine. So 36 is fine. It's all just technical stuff. Section 38. Replace and or all. Well, that's usually, I find and or all are usually important. So which and or all is it here? There's a few of them in line 49. It doesn't have an or in it. Oh, it does there.
It's one.
Is it a whether or is it the one below that and or, where the and is taken out?
We're taking out the and.
In front of recover.
Yes.
So the and you're taking out, you're leaving the or there.
Yes.
Okay, so that's in line 50 on page 15. Line 50, not 49. You'll see an and square bracket comes out and an or goes in there. Okay?
Yes.
Everyone happy? So it's reduced, reused, recycled, or recovered.
Yes.
Not and. Okay. Everyone happy with that? Lovely. All right. And then in the long title, back to the long title on page 1. Obviously because of the bioprospecting funds being removed, that must be removed from the long title, so there shouldn't be a problem. 18th line, well there's no lines on this page, so 18th line, which is it?
I think it was the third from the bottom.
Third from the bottom?
Yeah, we're taking out the references to the amendments to the bioprospecting trust fund.
Okay, so that out, that's fine. Yeah. What is this next one? 4, after 4 to insert that, which line is that?
The second last.
Second last line.
Yeah, I think it's to extend the powers of the minister.
To extend the powers of the.
Yeah.
Of the. But it says put the after four.
Right. Four. Yeah, it's the four. Sorry, to provide for the minister. For the minister to declare amnesty.
Go down the last one.
Yeah.
Okay. And provide for the minister to declare amnesty in certain circumstances. So there is just added after four. Okay, that seems right. Everyone happy? For the minister. Okay. So there's actually only one substantive amendment, that is section 87A, and it has a few consequential amendments, and the by respecting is also substantive, but it's been removed, and it has consequential amendments, and then there's one or two ors and fours, which all seem to be okay and in place. Everyone happy with that? Happy with the amendments, folks? Yes? A lot of silent nods.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where's my voting? Got it. 2, 4, 6, 7. Who's at the end there? Bengo is here, but that's only 7. What is the size of a committee? 11. What's a quorum?
Quorum one committee.
See if you can get a member on that side.
Yeah,
see if you can help there. Maybe if you pull someone by the ear, they'll come quicker. Please, Jane. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for, I mean, this is the bill we discussed with you extensively on a previous occasion. Thank you for standing in. All right, where's that report? Just to explain, we've gone through the amendments as a committee, we're just amending and voting at this stage, just needed a call. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Water and Environmental Affairs on the National Environmental Management Law's First Amendment Bill B13D of 2012, dated 18 June 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Water and Environmental Affairs has come out, as I said, having deliberated and considered the subject matter of the National Environmental Amendment Law's First Amendment Bill B13D 2012, in brackets the Amendment Bill, as amended by the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs on 7 May 2013 and referred to the Portfolio Committee for concurrence on 16 May 2013, recommends that the House adopt the amendments to the amended bill. Report to be adopted. Everyone for? Anyone against?
No.
Any abstentions?
No.
So unanimous eight votes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Could you make sure that she's signed?
Thank you very much. It was the quickest vote you've ever had.
When you come again, you must do that. It's okay.
All right, thank you. That's important now. Make sure you guys get those amendments, those regulations done quickly, and make sure that we can copy those regulations before you pass them or anything. When they finish, they've been processed, let us look. Table them informally. Remember, you must keep tabling informally. If any of us want to look at those regulations, we find a mistake or something, we want to bring your attention, it's better we do it before. Okay, so informally you table it with us. All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much to the two of you. You excuse when you've finished if you want to. Make sure that bill gets processed properly to Parliament, okay? Make sure that it's on the order paper before Wednesday when we rise. We're Thursday, okay? Chileka, it must be on the order paper. Eh? We don't need a vote on this. Just confirm. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Let's put that bill aside. When you finish with making those amendments, bring them back to the other side. Okay. All right. What have I got here, Mr. Boma?
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member. Thank you for welcoming us back. The pack in front of you, once again, is quite a thick pack. It has a summary right up front of the various documents that it contains, including a briefing memo which provides an overview of the process to date, and then a set of annexures which Dr. Killian Zulu will take us through as she does the presentation. But in summary, annex 1 relates to, or is the marked up version, but that is the marked up version, the 2012 notice. The 2010 notice with the marked up version for 2012 notice, so this is not the marked up current new version. There's
what on earth is that?
Well, that means that we're just able to be clear about the changes that were made in the 2012 notice. We do not yet have the marked up version of the 2012 notice following the discussions and consultations. Rather, what we have is a detailed presentation that on each of the issues the Honourable Chair raised during the first set of, or during the set of hearings, has now a resolution. So following a stakeholder workshop as well as two technical committees, we have come to a resolution on I think
But we just discovered that we had a representative from SAPS.
Okay.
So you did consultations, and then at the end you had issues that weren't resolved, went to the technical meeting, and you received their response from them, and that will be part of your response.
Okay.
Everyone happy on the consultation? Seems that it was done what we wanted.
Okay.
So
we have the document.
This presentation,
Where is this presentation?
Not in the document.
Okay, this is Jim. Get us a copy. We can't sit here and not have a copy.
Okay.
Get a copy for us. So there can be only one copy, so when there's a slide presentation. If you smoke, smoke and die quickly. If you don't do dark places.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know if the coffee or tea is ready, but I mean, quickly, let's do this quickly. Come on, let's get going. Let someone else do it, doctor. You come back and you maybe start at least with some of the things. So we'll have a 5-minute break.
And we only received that. We only received those drafts when they sent to us for vetting. Maybe it's at that time when you do the vetting. Because that's more or less the line function paragraph. Maybe then we send it. They send it to us first, and then we vet, and then they then put our vetting memo and the final vetting to the minister on EDMS.
I think what we do is
when we receive a SNET from them, we send it to the chair. Because it provides them enough time, because their comments and whatever, they will submit and then we'll have to consider them when these things are asked for comment as well.
Okay.
So it gives them even more time to comment.
Okay.
But the thing that I'm not sure of is whether they want their comments in comparison to people who have a comment. So that's it. Whether they're expecting them, they want that they have a comment in comparison to their comments. That's something that we need to think about.
Can you maybe discuss this? I have seen the email, but can you take it up? I will also ask maybe Sabine 3D.
Yes, on the carbon.
Yes. Weet je, ik had eigenlijk een idee rondzien, want die patiënt, ik heb hem nog al kennis gegeven, ik ga nog de hele familie al één juni kennis gegeven, één juli kennis gegeven, dat hij afgaan, maar hij moet iets anders krijgen. So, oké, kan ik jou zijn nummer geven? Gaan het sommer voor jou SMS op hierdie nummer wat jij van mij gegeven. Dan is het sommer gaan op jou zijn die zal.
Nee, dat is goed.
Hij is ook een Pretoria.
Ik ook een Pretoria.
Wat hij zo waar je blij is, want die punt is dat die boomblik, ik weet niet die altijd zijn, dat was altijd goed geweest, maar hij mag het niet als niet weinig kan bekoesten, je weet dat hij dat, want dat is
Let's just show me on the table. Show me how to link that. Some of them are just waiting for you.
I think, members, can we, the paper is here, let us start and then we'll get the paper, okay? Start, doctor. Hello.
So this is the offline.
Can we take a discussion outside? Hello? Can we take a discussion outside? We'll try to have a meeting.
Thank you. So the presentation starts to by going to the legal provisions for the amendment, which I think in summary was done as the chair was talking what we have done so far. And the summary of the public hearing is the items.
Where do we get that work?
No, no, that's the document that's coming to us now. Just check it up, yes, sir. They'll take us through that.
Doctor, could you kindly feel free, my baby? Let's hear you and feel you.
Remember, so you should be expressing yourself.
Yes, come up clearly.
I was saying the presentation starts with the legal provisions for the amendment. And I was saying we've already spoken a little bit about that, as Zeta was asking about the consultation that is done today. We've also got an extra form in the document which we have now that are action items from the previous public hearings and how we have dealt with those. And then I'm going to refer briefly to the multi-stakeholder workshop. And then I've got more detail on the technical committee meeting, the issues that were discussed there and how they were resolved and how the department is taking them forward. And then the way forward of after today, what then are we going to do about the matrix. So I think the first question we had last time was, is the national framework legally binding? Yes, the national framework is legally binding, and the definition of the Act, the National Environmental Management Equity Act, 39/2004, the definition of the Act includes the national framework, any regulation made in terms of the Act, and any subordinate legislation issued in terms of the Act. Therefore, the national framework is legally binding. And then in terms of the national framework, section 5.4.3.1, which we discussed to some extent last week, it states that the minister will request the SABS to establish standards for any identified hazard. So the question is then talk briefly on the function of setting the standard. It remains the function of the minister, but in order to enhance the participation process, the minister will collaborate with the SABS to set standards on an ad hoc basis for an identified hazard. The SABS is a statutory body, so an MOU was to formalize the relationship between the SABS and the department was then drawn out to ensure that all the legislative and procedural matters are taken into account and followed in the setting of standards. And that's when the National Government is Annex 2 and members have proceeded in the bid for the previous meeting, Annex 3 is the MOU between DIA and SABS, and I have in the briefing memo elaborated on the section of the MOU, which is on page 304, that talks to the development of the standards and what then should be done if consensus cannot be reached in terms of the MOU. So it is section 3.8 of the MOU between DIA and SABS. Okay, did you I must remind the members where the memo is, the second document as front. There's the first briefing memo on the index, that is the document, it is 4 pages, and now going to page 304 with that insert that I have taken from the MOU between DIA and FPS. So it was drawn taking into account the requirements of both the Standards Act and the Equality Act. So, and as we then deliberated and went into the SABS to develop the standards, we found that the SABS had no in-house technical expertise to set every standard required in South Africa. So they act as a facilitator in the development and maintenance of standards. They provide secretarial and technical writing facilities and services for the committee, which must be selected, and they act as a publishing house for certain standards and related documents. So in terms of the functions of the SABS, that committee is set up, the committee develops a standard, reaches consensus, and the standard is published. Then that same committee is responsible for maintaining and updating the standard that has been published. In the case where consensus is not reached, the SABS process then ceases because that committee has not established the standard. So in the, and I want to say here, although we're not talking about the National Equality Act, for the other standards in the Act, the ambient equality standards, for example, and the standards for small boilers, which are presently promulgated, the SABS process was successful. Consensus was reached, so those standards are published as part of the process as well. and the committees that were established are therefore responsible for maintaining and updating those standards. Now, in terms of this project, it was cancelled out of the SAPS because consensus could not be reached. So in terms of the legal mandate of the SAPS, it ends there for them because the consensus must be reached for the committee to continue to regulate standards, to maintain and update the standards.
Just remind me what there wasn't consensus on?
There was an agreement on most of the limits that should be set for the industry.
Sorry?
Between the technical committee members. There was an agreement on the numbers, on the limits that should be set, the actual standards.
I'm asking, what is the dispute? Why didn't they want to? Just remind me, I know you told us about it, I'm just trying to remember, what was the dispute? Why the SABS didn't want to be part of the process?
Chair, I think what happened was that in many cases parties could not reach agreement on the minimum emission standards, and so the process then was taken out of the SABS process but continued outside of the SABS.
No, I know that, but what was the problem? I mean, last time they were first part of the process. I'm trying to find out what the dispute was. Is it just that you couldn't reach consensus? That was the first time. Why weren't they part of the process now this time? What is the dispute?
They were part of the process this time of the amendment. The dispute was that the civil society and NGOs felt that they were not included in all the meetings that were held.
Okay, but they weren't part of this new draft. SABS does one part of it. That was the whole issue why we asked you to consult for it. They weren't part of it. Legal resources says legally they should have been part of it, which I leave open now. You then did the process. But why were they part of the second process? You told us last time, I just can't remember.
Chip, if I may, once it had come out of the SABS process the first time round, the SABS's view was that it could not then go back into the SABS process. So we had to continue the process through the technical committees, which were established on the same basis that they were established as required for the SABS process. But because the during the process of the 2010 regulation,
their view is they couldn't be part of the first process.
Although
they are new ones, they
can't be part of the second.
Now I must tell you that is absolutely ridiculous. There's no logic there. I mean, if there's a new set of things, then why can't they be part of the new ones? I mean, then they can give their view. But in any case, I've said that last time. I hope that was conveyed to them by letter. Was it?
It was conveyed verbally.
Well, you must do it by letter. I want to see it in writing. But I think it's ridiculous. Personally, I think it's ridiculous. They are there for a reasoning government. They have certain expertise. And the fact that there wasn't an agreement, the process is if you can't reach an agreement, then you go on your own. But now it says every 5 years a review. Then the next one's a new set of things, and not the old set. It's a new set that comes forth. I really think it's ridiculous. I think it's childish, in fact. I mean, these people should be back in kindergarten and tell them I said so. There's no logic to their argument.
The message will convey to check.
People get text money and then they go on like
this. Oh, I think I've spoken about this. The standards were published, both the fact that these standards are published in terms of the sales and numbers, the committee is responsible to maintain and update the standards for peer review as well. I think this other point has been deliberated quite largely on the fact that the committee did not choose consensus, and therefore in terms of the SAPS standard, there was no SAPS standard promulgated. That the committee would therefore be responsible to maintain. It was an Air Quality Act standard, not an SAPS standard. But as per instruction of the committee, we have had those consultations that we still have now included all the all the sectors the way they would have been included.
And you've had your own technical plan?
Yes.
Okay. Look, the question is this, and we can't answer it for you because we're not going to legally express ourselves on the issue. The issue is this. After the previous processes and after you've now consulted, after you've had or heard from us, do you feel that legally you've now complied with the consultation process?
Yes.
You're happy with it?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to leave it at that. If members have further questions, we'll ask for a consultation process. Okay? All right, let's go on then.
This, oh, I wanted to say, 10-10 amendment, 10-10 for the local model, we did have the consultations and the members that came to the committee with the same members which I have spoken about earlier, and then we convened the technical workshops to provide additional opportunities for written representations to prior to finalization and the recommendations to the minister. So now, after the public hearing, we've spoken about this, we then had the meeting with the industrial sector as directed by the committee, the different ones that we had to provide clarity like metallurgical sector and the PET crematoria tire as well. So we had those meetings, the dates of the meetings are given in the annex 4 of the documents. And then we had the stakeholder meeting on the 15th of May when we were sharing how we arrived at the 2012 notice from the 2021, what was amended and why what was amended was amended, and some of the issues that were raised in the public commenting period, the 16-day public commenting period, and some of the issues were resolved in that meeting. Some of the issues, the technical issues, were deferred to a technical meeting that would be held on the 16th.
Okay, just tell us which ones were resolved. I'm going to detail them were resolved. Just tell us which ones.
For example, the fact that we were saying...
You haven't gotten the input.
Get there.
Let's move.
Okay. I was just talking...
No, I mean, we've got now the consultation process. You told me you guys are happy that you've legally complied. And that's it. So now let's see what issues were vetoed.
This was the A2S limit, which is called to the basically special. The technical meeting.
No, not the technical meeting. That's where you disagreed. What are the agreements that were reached in your stakeholder process? You said there were something to agree to. Now I'm asking what?
The sampling, Chairperson.
You don't have it.
I have it in this document. What I have here. Yes.
Which document? Just show us, you see what's been agreed to. We don't need the details.
Mm.
You can just show us which one has been agreed to.
I will tell the number.
So I think in reality, many of the issues were referred to the technical committee on the 6th and 7th of June for final resolution. So the issues were aired at the stakeholder meeting on the 15th of May, and Tim can give us an indication of those issues that were easy to resolve, which were settled right then. But many of the issues were referred to the so-called green room, or the technical committee, and that's where you'd like to go to.
I want to know, if you make a public statement that something was agreed to, I want to know what it was agreed to. For God's sake, how is a statement made that we agreed to things if it wasn't agreed to? It's different to say most issues were referred to the green room and we sorted out there, and then it can't be true to say we agreed to certain things. If you didn't agree to things, just tell us. We're happy with that, but if you can't say we agreed, we can't show us what we have agreed to. Please, I'm agitated now. What was agreed to? Was nothing agreed to? Pam, you were there. Maybe you can help. Was anything agreed to as we move on?
There were things to agree to.
There were? Yeah, well, what? Where can I find it?
I think one that I can teach you from Annex Shop. Page 4.
Page 4.
That talks on the relaxation of emission limits. I think the middle column. The one that talks to category 2 petroleum. I think it says the resolution 6 June 20th workshop appear to provide outstanding information requested by the NGO sector.
Mm.
The calculation of emissions to be undertaken by the NGO sector, Professor Eugene Pencross. Then the outcome, and then they will do that verification exercise.
So that's the process that was agreed to. Okay. Well, that's a process. That's not a particular process.
Okay. And also, another example would be an extra 7, page 10.
Process, folks. How do you prepare for this?
you look at category 4, there was a additional calcination process and a drying process and removal of NOx emissions. The deliberations in the workshop was that there's an unintended double regulation of subcategory 4.16, and the agreement was that the department would resolve that and clarify the...
You agree there was a double?
Yes.
Okay, so there is another one.
The next one after that was that NOx emissions or drying processes would be retained as they were in the 2010 notice.
Okay.
The next page, again, the department would qualify which drying processes are affected by subcategory 4.1.
Okay.
So the items...
So yeah, in this document are all the minutes, things.
Yes,
the minutes
of that workshop. The things that are highlighted in yellow are those that were taken to the green room, the technical committee.
Although not all of them, because on the next page there's the finalization technical forum, which you didn't make yellow. All right, look, it doesn't look like we can get far with it. Let's get to the technical thing then, rather. Let's review finalize.
Okay. And the first one is the HTS limit, which that's what I think that is the limit is in the notice. They have done a modeling exercise that indicates that they are able, the ambient quality is not affected even with the limits exposed. So in the technical the agreement was that SACO will provide that report within 4 weeks, it could be 2 weeks from today, so that the technical committee could consider and see whether that limit was, whether that argument was correct.
What does that mean? So you actually haven't finalized, but there's still things that are going to take place.
Yes.
If you look at this one.
Because there's additional information required. But some have
okay.
been
So outstanding or ongoing. This one's ongoing. All right, next one.
The alignment, the core process and core feeding and material combustion. So the technical meeting agreed that the notice does not provide clear requirements on how the co-feeding of two or more fuels in any combustion process is to be carried out. So the resolution was that the department would fit with the Waste Act and alignment so that there is no conflict between the Waste Act and this
direct. And there's an agreement that that will be okay?
Yes.
So this is agreed. Okay. Next one.
The common step requirements, the issue was that some of the limited activities will report to one set. So in terms of setting emission limits, where is the point of compliance? And the definition of what the point of compliance was debated and agreed in the... In
so the definition of point of compliance agreed to?
Yes.
So it was agreed to. Okay. There's another one agreed to. Uh-huh. Next one.
The averaging period was there because there was a misunderstanding in the text in terms of what the new requirement was. And so the resolution was that this was misunderstanding. 3 samples over a 24-hour period should be collected for reporting. So it was clarified.
So that's also agreed. Okay. So that was technically wrong. Okay. Next one.
The addition of reciprocating engines, another proposal was to remove the tax stream raising from the existing stream. Primary function of these installations is not going to generate steam. Agreement was that steam raising was to be removed from the system.
Okay. Lovely. Also agreed to. Next.
There was a proposal to regulate cumulative capacity of the reciprocating engines, and it was accepted, and the test will be amended accordingly.
Lovely. See how easy it is when you talk to each other. Keep going.
Oh, it's very easy. Drying and...
makes you a better person, makes you a whole rounded person. Keep going.
The
I mean, you must always agree. Mm. I don't always agree with Angela with everything, but I listen to her. I know, but don't let it come with guns. You in the government, you take out your cannons. You've got detention without trial. What are you hassle about? I mean, use the weapons you've got. Detain them. Arrest them. Okay, go ahead.
Trying and concerning trespass is that department has to remove the double regulation by including text that states that excludes personal processes regulated elsewhere in the notice. So that was accurate.
Okay.
Aluminium sector request of regulation, department accepted the aluminium sector's request to separate carbon processes from the actual process.
Keep going, you're doing well.
Lead melting, description of the subcategory needs to be expanded to the use of lead in small quantities by laboratories and related activities. This is one of the unintended consequences, and the department will add a threshold to the description as proposed by member.
Hot dip galvanized. Thank God, I don't know what these things mean.
They have to consider the submission from hot dip galvanizing, and because they were listed under up, the second recommendation is that the temperature be regulated inside of the emission.
And you agree with that?
No.
You consider the submission.
Okay. Submission and
so this is ongoing. This is not agreed to. Okay. Ongoing.
Storage and handling of ore and coal.
That sounds funny. How do you measure the heat and the emission? Sounds funny. Okay. Don't even ease me.
The in terms of the search and handling of ore and coal, there was a concern that there's a potential misalignment of dust monitoring requirements of this subcategory with draft dust control regulations, which we spoke about last week. The department believes that there's no misalignment because it's clear what dust control does, and these are sources that are within this.
So, you, as far as you're concerned, you're not going to agree to this?
Yes. Drying activities in cement industry, the cement industry requested the removal of drying activities subcategory on the basis that most of the dryers currently installed are integrated to other processes as used process uses that are already regulated elsewhere. Alternative proposal by sector is the 10 megawatt thermal threshold be adopted as most of the dryers with commercial chambers are below the threshold. Thus they are not significant to consider that submission.
It's ongoing.
Special arrangement requirement for choices on alternative flows. The men that propose an alternative CO2 emission limit for the use of ASR for consideration by the department. CO2 limit of 10 milligrams per nano normal cubic meter to be retained for both existing and new plants.
So you didn't agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you agree?
No.
They've got their view, you've got your view, not agree, okay?
So
that's the cementitious association, isn't it?
Yes. Production handling and use of assets. The issue was rather than unintended regulation of small game activities. So the subcategory description has been expanded to include bulk handling and the use of assets as it was previously regulated under APA. So that we don't regulate every laboratory that exists in the country that uses assets. We have actually to put this threshold.
So you have to agree. Okay.
Then the caustic soda processes and the prior argues that this process does not no longer there is no longer production of caustic soda in the country. However, we feel that it was regulated under to ensure regulatory continuity to still the main regulation.
Yeah, that's obvious.
In case we are not aware of
someone may have somewhere, or they may use it You know how they come and dump all the things in Africa, so they may do it again.
Production of chemicals, fertilizers.
So this wasn't agreed.
The previous one.
We keep the same.
Yes.
Okay, fertilizers.
The agreement was that most fertilizers are not solid, but liquid. This is to be considered in the activity description. So the description will be revised to consider that.
So that's agreed to?
Prior to confirm if there are non-solid chemical fertilizer producers, prior did not provide that submission. And this is a matter that's not agreed to.
Not agreed to.
Connection.
Ah, all our little buddy rhinos. Yeah, okay. What did you do here?
Captain, already when in the revised notice, we have separated pet crematory from the human crematory for the reason that we had had meetings with the sector and had understood that the emission limit would be different between the two. It seems the sector is moving for an regulation at all, and it wouldn't be okay for the 2021 matrix to exclude completely pet crematory. So we are looking at having a threshold at least so that small units are not radiated. But if there is a pet crematory, they also, some people invest in their pets and put all sorts of metal and things, and we cannot really be confident that they never put pet butter in plastic bags. In those, so we still need to have some form of physical control and licensing for those facilities. We just give it a threshold so that much smaller facilities are.
So you guys have agreed on separating, and you'll only regulate from a certain size up.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is agreed and it's not agreed. So, okay.
Turning grounds where processes that are regulated under the app. The proposal was that we should remove 10 kilograms per week threshold, but we are still going to meet with the operators of this resources activity to define what an appropriate threshold should be.
That's ongoing.
Yeah. This was the bubble approach, which was the biggest amendment of the notice, where we were supposed to receive information from the refineries to give us a certain cost to make calculations to see whether indeed the standards have been relaxed in the current notice. And the refineries did not provide the information or time, so Professor Ken Cross made calculations, but of course not very well informed because the refineries did not provide the information. So we are at a point where we are still expecting to do the calculation, but we just thought in terms of telling the portfolio committee what the issues are here. The department believes the removal of the regulatory of the bubble approach is the best way to control emissions from the refinery sector. However, with the argument that the emission limits might be less, the refineries themselves have not argued that such is not the case. So, and from where we sit and the calculations that we have done and still need to do further to confirm this, we realize that it's like comparing oranges and bananas. Really, they're not comparable. But in terms of what the government wants to achieve to protect the right of people in the country, the bubble approach is not suitable. Even in areas like Texas in America, where they had the bubble approach, the federal government has forsaken the country court because it is not a proper emission control from refineries to calculate instead of measuring what each activity is.
Look, whatever you've given them a chance to explain, and whatever you decide, well, you know, that's your decision as a department. And if there are further processes that have to take place, my only thing is what I am worried about, I haven't heard about timelines, but I hope you tell me at the end about it, okay?
So in case there is that risk that it might be next, we are speaking to the 2010 to the 2010 notice that says 2015 and 2020 for compliance, because we have not had a counter argument that says there is no renovation and the concessions have not been coming off. So we will keep the unbubble approach, but we are.
But they're still waiting. But you're waiting for information, which you will
consider. Yes, we can still consider. So that is the biggest amendment to make that needs.
Outstanding. Or ongoing. I mean, that's the biggest one you must finalize.
Yes.
Okay.
Then those were issues in the agreement. But then I went, because in the previous meeting, the chair wanted to know whether we had done any international benchmark to come up with the standard that we did in the 2010 notice. So I have this slide that show what Yas proposal was and Safia's proposal was as a collective and the different refinery which we shared with the stakeholders on the 15th of May and the technical committee. The Safia proposals were informed by standards from Germany and India that have regulated the refineries this year. And so I wanted to put it up here just to give the context of the previous meeting. It was not clear whether we have looked at other countries international. Just order to mention that the German standard for them is an expensive standard to buy grant. But yes, we did benchmark to see what, of course, we have to take into account local conditions as well, because coal seems at different areas of the world. So that is the just taking the committee to the kind of work that the department went into to propose the standard.
So this is on each issue, that's combustion, installations
for existing plants,
excluding any material, that's that one. This is catalytic cracking limits.
Yes.
Then your benchmark is there, and then the last one is sulfur recovery unit. That's your benchmark. Mm-hmm. You don't have a benchmark for that. There's no benchmark there, okay? So you checked all those, and that's you sticking to that. Now, I mean, all the other numbers, I mean, is there agreement on that? Because I see they're not here. All the other stands that we've set. I mean, you've discussed all this year where different approaches you're going to amend and so on. Are these amendments you're going to make, are they of numbers or standards, or is there agreement with those numbers and standards? Because the only one numbers you're giving us here is the petroleum chemical engine.
Of course, those were the ones where we in amended notice with working with numbers. The rest was question of typos and the alignment.
There's happiness for that.
I would not generally accept it as the law of the land, because it was debated and consulted on last time. Of course, it has to be one to do that much more, which is not in line with
the
law. Yes. And so the other part of the notice were.
Well, fine. This is what you discussed.
This is what the issues for this current
one. Way forward?
So the way forward is that we finalize the remainder of the issues, which we.
But by when? I see there's no time limit to this, except the one is 4 weeks. Why do we need so much longer than
which would be 2 weeks from now, Chair? So in 2 weeks time, if we have not received the information that we're supposed to receive, we will move with what we have.
As you give the deadline to people?
Yes, they know about the 4 weeks. The 4 weeks.
Everything is 4 weeks from when you met?
From 6th June.
From 6th June. And that. Okay. I think what you must do to cover yourself, put that in writing. And those ones here that are split to information, then write to them and say, please remember the deadline for receiving information is this. If you will not receive the information, we're continuing with whatever we have available to us. Mm-hmm. Can't go on now. I mean, you've now had a full consultation process, and we disagree, you disagree, and when you agree, you agree. Which is a lot of stuff that's now out of the way, which is agreement, which is good. And the one or two things now that you are spending, I mean, it must be a deadline here. And we must get the standard done. These things can't be in limbo any longer. But we're already long out of time. Okay, so I think you guys must do the loop. Okay, members, questions? As you know, I didn't go into the technical stuff because that's not for us. It's really just to check what the process has been and whether we're happy that the process of talking to each other has taken place. That was our goal. and that seems to have happened. Now, some state governments make decisions, I mean, and they've got all the information available, and then stand by whatever they do. Okay, Ma? Nicola?
Chairperson, I'm happy that you say the department has to take a stand when it comes to certain issues, because I'm worried about the refineries. They are very stubborn, as far as I'm concerned. I wonder how was their reaction when the department discussed issues that concern them, because they are the worst polluters. Were they willing to contribute, to change certain, you know, I'm just trying to advise that be careful of those people. Their refineries are very, you know, and they always try and protect themselves somehow in a very subtle manner. And yet, as I say, they are made.
So they're wolf in sheep's skin.
Oh, yes.
Any other questions or comments?
Thanks, Chair. Being new onto the portfolio, perhaps I could just be given a bit of insight. It's all very well once we've reached consensus on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Last week we discussed about evolution and control and monitoring. Once this is in place, how do we enforce it? Who enforces it? And what are the consequences to non-compliance? Thanks, Chair.
Is there no question? My question is, out of last week's hearings we had with you, it was clear to us that there were two things. It was the burning of coal in the townships, and dust, particularly from the mines, were the two biggest particulate hazards we have in the country. Now, have we covered those enough in these standards? For example, there was an example given that we should put nets over the mines. Now, I don't see that yet. Maybe it's in the old thing, I don't know. It seemed to me that the point was raised that that doesn't exist. There's no standard to force people to do that. Now, my worry really is those two things. It's fine that we're looking at industry and things like that, which we must do. We must regulate. But we saw here that it's our third world conditions, our developing country conditions, that is actually creating even bigger problems to us in terms of the amount of particles in the air and so on. Now, I didn't see anything extra on that here. So that's my question. Mark?
I just want to add to what the chairperson has just said about coal. I was in Newcastle Magadan Township. I'm telling you, I've never seen the light of it. The smoke that covers the whole township. You're even afraid to drive through. Maybe the department can say something about the green coal or whatever. Thank you.
Scared to drive through, scared to get lost in the fog. Okay, those, any other questions or comments from the members? Any? No? Okay. Let's hear those.
Thanks, my question. In terms of the first question, mine is going to say, are the refineries willing to contribute, willing to change? I think to a large extent, yes, they are willing to change, but the refineries are a group. There are differences also amongst the group themselves. But in terms of the way legally we are moving, there will be change, because things cannot continue the way they are, because South Africans deserve clean air as well as any other human beings. So I think there is, in terms, and I must say, in terms of the development of all the legal status of the act, we have had stakeholders contributing quite largely. And then the next question was, how do we enforce? After this notice, there are atmospheric emission licenses that are issued to all the activities that are listed in the notice. That is where the emission limits are set. And with that, industries have to report minimum annually what the emissions have been for the year and report compliance to the respective emission licensing authorities. And the licensing authority can specify more than once if need be, depending on the conditions that exist in the area. So they have to report, and then the enforcement is according to the atmospheric emission licenses. And we have the telescopians in the National Department. We have AMIs as well. I think Didi Chan spoke about this last week, talking about the fact that provinces as well enforce. And we have a consequence. We had a list from the previous step of all the court cases and administrative actions that have been taken for those industries that are not in compliance with the legal requirements that they have to take. And in terms of domestic burning, yes, Chair, you are correct. It's not covered in the industrial limit notice. It's covered in the strategy for addressing air pollution in dense low-income settlements. And that is a strategy that was consulted.
I've seen that strategy.
Was it in the first graphic? It was not in the first respect to it. We can supply it to the Chair. In essence, the strategy looks to bring together all the different departments that are implemented. So we have the Department of Energy, which is responsible for provision of clean energy sources as a party in the implementation of that strategy as well. Department of Human Settlements to ensure that the housing that we give our people is energy efficient. There is not so much need to rely on coal to keep warm in the winter. So basically it's a holistic strategy that needs to be approved by cabinet so that the different departments can implement.
Words. Is it more than words?
W-O-R-D-S.
Is it more than words? You see, yeah. You're giving us standards, you're telling us how you want things done, and so on. Now, I know it's more difficult with the thing we're discussing, but for example, maybe difficult with the coal burning in townships. But in terms of those mine dumps and so on, it's not difficult. So it doesn't have to be a strategy. It can actually be particular duties that are put on those mines that are in the area. So that's why I'm asking, is it words or are we going to translate it into something more substantive? Have we or are we? Tom Neely.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think your question relates to what it also talks to the mining legislation that we're trying to do now. Because in terms of the arguments that the two ministers have agreed to is that the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs will be responsible for policy regulation development, and then it will be implemented by the Department of Mineral Resources. So in the Waste Act, that's where the interacts with the mine residue and stockpile, there's a provision for the minister to develop regulations specifically dealing with how stockpiles in mining areas and residue must be managed. Mm. And then in those regulations, then we're going to provide for penalties in terms of if a certain those regulations are contravened, then there should be consequences for that.
Are you telling me the legal framework? Yeah. I'm asking, are there specifics or are we thinking of specifics? You're telling me what the legal framework is, which is fine. It makes it clearer to me what we're dealing with. But the point is, I was quite flabbergasted by the inputs last week, in a sense that we, in some areas we all complain about, we're actually doing better in the industry because there are standards. And it's the unregulated where we really have problems. And that is why I'm thinking that these things can't be worse anymore. We have to try and, as I say, I know it's difficult in the township with the burning of coal. Because, I mean, what are you going to say to people? You must buy coal of a certain quality. I mean, it's just not going to happen in practice. So what are you going to do? Arrest people there? So I know it's difficult, that part. But the part of the particulates in the air that are being created, particularly in the Gauteng area, and it seems to me that a lot of that comes from the mind up. I don't know why we should sort of wait for regulation, but we should move on this.
Chair, I think if we possibly separate the two issues, the dental income settlements issue and then the mining issue, because they're different approaches. In the case of the dense low-income settlement situation, I think you put your finger on it, it's very difficult. There are not alternatives, people are dependent. So it really requires a response across a multiple set of departments and provinces, tiers and spheres. And the purpose of the strategy is to bring those departments together, to set targets, and to make sure that collectively as government we are zooming in to a particular challenge in low income.
There's offset things you told us. I like that.
And the offset strategy, which we're working on in the context of the criteria of Luton, will be a really important strength to develop. There's still quite a bit.
Why don't you end off it nicely on a nice note and tell me that you will definitely have consulted on this matter before the end of the year, and you will come and table a report from the committee on what the solutions are before the end of the year, and you will approach me for a text, and not me you. How did you end it off like that?
Well,
use my words if you want.
I would love to use your
words. Okay, there we
go. No, certainly, I think that is the direction that we're going, both in relation to the framework for managing offsetting, but also in relation to the more detailed work that is currently underway in finalising the strategy for low-income settlements. I think in the case of mining, it's a slightly different situation. And there, it's a use of a set of tools, and the drug control regulations is one of those tools. The regulations in respect of...
Are there regulations?
Yes, there are, and they're in fact included...
No, dust ones.
Yes, the dust control, can you would like to...
They were included in the first pack of regulations
last week?
No, not last week. Was it last year?
First time I look at the air quality has been this year, so it can't be last year.
But we had a couple.
I've definitely not seen dust regulation.
Dust control
regulation. Yeah, dust control regulation, whatever they made, I've never seen them.
We can send them, so we'll publish them.
Look, what we'll do is this. You find me a package of these other non-industrial things. A package on mining, a package on domestic coal burning, and make us a package of each of those with a memo on the front of each package. Explain to us what you're going to do before the end of the year, what you have done, so the dust control things, regulations, what you have done, what you're planning to do before the end of the year, where you'll come and report to us before the end of the year on that issue. Then on this issue here, you have 2 weeks, or you'll be doing a letter to the people and tell them there's the deadline. And then how long is it going to take you to then finalize the standard after the 2 weeks?
Certainly in the technical 2 weeks, we can finalize it in 2 weeks after that and send it to the government.
So you guys can then be ready in about a month or month and a half, and take it to minister and everything. All right, so what I'm going to, I'll give you now a chance. What we're doing then is on this industrial standards emission issue, they are now finalizing the process. They've reported to us. It won't necessarily be a report back to us. We will get a copy of the final standard. Maybe you can call me before you're going to publish it, so I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then on the domestic consumption and the mining stuff, two packages with memos, what they're going to do for the rest of the year to try and address the thing that we saw last week in all the slides they showed us, okay? Two hands were there, Ms. Bengu, Ms. Manganya, and Dr. Kwan.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a concern. As it takes a long time to can finalize whatever that is occurring in the mine. I don't know if maybe the two departments are not meeting. Maybe I must ask, before you do this regulation, do you sometimes visit around the mining area? to see how people are suffering because of the dust, or you just take from the offices and lie down? Because I'm saying this, Chairperson, because at the end of the day, it's people, it's community who are suffering, who are staying around the mines. Now I'm coughing, I don't know if there's dust, because I'm just being right in the mines. So when we talk, doesn't mean we don't appreciate what we are doing, but because we are the one who getting this brand, we wanted it to be done as soon as possible. Because always it's dust. Sometimes you don't know if you will wake up tomorrow morning because of this dust. So the sooner the better we get to know what is taking place, so that as to know. Because the other disturbing factor is that even although after that, we see these people who are suffering because of asbestos. Now we are going to see us suffering because of this dust. Because the mine nowadays are just around inside the community villages. So it's a problem. So Mina, I would like really this issue to be speed up. And we must see your inspector being visible around the mine. If you've got this inspector, it must be visible so that when you take decision, it must be an informed something that you will know that this issue really is happening around the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bengu.
Thank you, Chair. Well, on page 3, I would like the department to give us the concrete examples of appeal processes in recognition of designs one rules. Another question is if the LAPS has limited in-house technical expertise to set every standard required in South Africa, how is the issue being addressed at the department?
I think your chairperson, firstly, I just read just to my colleague, Honorable Di Clara says, from the Mother Penny, this order is emission. I think that a long time we didn't stay in the Mother Penny, so this Mother Penny part to the Newcastle town. So this is my hometown. So I think this one is because the Mother Penny is close to the East Coast still. So always is the more this emission came from the, not burned down by the coal, it's from the East Coast. So I think that this one, to the UL resolution, you say is this emission is for the sake of take a tree for per 24 hours and months report. But I see the last meeting you report to the committees, but from KZN is almost no report. So now your resolution, you can follow up for the in future for every tree sample for 24 hours for report per month. It's not like I doubt it. I don't know if there is a department can follow up for the doing a good job for this particular month. Thank you.
Ms. Zikala.
Chairperson, I've heard that Mr. Huang has made mention of ISCO. I remember when Modderfontein was at its best, condition-wise, you wouldn't drive through that road. But something happened. It's law here in South Africa. And that Sasol, Angwanga Basubutini.
In yoga.
Hey, that Sasol, Zamdela, people are dying. Secunda, people are dying. And Chairperson, there was a time when Peter Luki promised, I'm now trying to help the president gain the presidency. She's the president. She's our president, not South Africa. He once made mention of trees to be planted in each and every home, house, more especially when it comes to try and the dust. Trees
all families should be having the trees around the... Yeah, it's a pity, because now Peter Luki is no more visiting us.
But he said, we could have then booked him. Chair, just a follow-up question on the second question I posed, and excuse me if it seems a silly question. I don't always understand these things. You say that once an atmospheric license is issued, that industry then needs to submit an annual report on emissions. Who's responsible for those reports and assessments? Because if it's industry, then to me it's almost like giving a convict the key to his cell and saying get yourself back. Or are we actually doing those assessments? And why is it annually? Because by then already you've caused, or you may have caused, damage. Why are we waiting so long? Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, let's hear those responses.
The first question was whether we do visit the mining areas. Yes, we do visit the mining areas. We are aware of the problems generated by mine dust. Hence, the dust control regulations are looking at from the front line of the mine into the community. And they are giving different limits for non-industrial areas, for areas where non-residential areas and residential areas, to say the mines must be responsible for the dust that goes. So seriously, the mines are saying that they're not responsible. There was no legal pool that is outside the mine fence. If the dust gets there, then who should be responsible? So these dust resolutions are looking at that. We have, particularly in the hyper priority area, we have visited the residents there and adjacent to the Anglo Coal mine and the Shanduka.
The mine is just in the village, not outside, not maybe 5 kilometers, just in the village.
The regulations are forcing mines to have dust management plans to ensure that the dust that's generated in the mine does not affect the community. So that is what is promulgated, that is what the mines are going to have to do. And this is
the... Is the plan reliant on them? They must have a plan. There are no specifics from your side. For example, these nets.
It's one of the measures that are put in. It's required by the equality officer for them to do and report.
How far are these regulations pushed?
We just had a workshop finalized. They were probably going to come in for the second time. Now they are ready to be processed and promulgated by the minister. And the inspectors must be visible around the mines. Yes, I believe once the regulation is promulgated, this is going to be a normal activity. When we request for the project to set standard project, we then nominate in conjunction with them the members of the committee, the technical expertise. So the fact that SFA doesn't have the technical expertise is not a problem, because we then nominate the members of the committee. In terms of the processes, we have the ambient air quality standard, for example, has been concluded the SFA standard. The small boilers limits are also an SAPS standard. So those are the examples that we can give for where the SAPS process has been used successfully. The issue about reporting that Dr. Honorable Dr. Wang is referring to, last week when we had that table, it was monitoring stations that are reporting data to the SAPIS, to the Safety Information System, that the answers were no. There is monitoring taking place in KwaZulu-Natal, but the data is not reported in the surface yet, because we are in the process of reporting the data so that anyone can go onto the web and draw up that data. The monitoring is happening. The reporting that we are referring to here is different from that. That
one is, this one here is industrial compliance. The monitoring is ambient air quality monitoring. So that's just the distinction between the two. The reporting for the second one is compliance against the atmospheric emission license that has been issued. That says you can only...
That particular industry or...
Yes, that particular industry.
And the other one is...
Ambient air.
I mean the air everywhere in the country. I mean, I don't know how many stations are there.
94, 98.
They do it for the everywhere, not just where the factories. They do it.
These stations belong to municipalities.
Yes.
Some of them municipalities, some provincial,
some
national.
But we also have some private companies that own monitoring stations, some of which are already reporting to the surface. For example, ESCOM has their own ambient monitoring stations and they are reporting data to the surface. The reporting for the assessment is the licensing authorities that are responsible to ensure that the industry is reported.
Who's the licensing authority?
It's metros, provinces and district municipalities at the moment that license different activities in their areas of jurisdiction.
Only those three? The national government have no role?
Only now with the proposed amendment, if it goes to national department, we have a licensing function, but currently the national department is not a licensing authority to provide support and leadership.
If I may, Chair, the reason being that air quality is actually a Schedule 4B function in the Constitution. So originally, there was a recognition that local authorities need to play a very extensive role. What we have, however, subsequently realized that for strategic projects, for example, the strategic infrastructure projects, where there really is a need for national to be playing a role, and even for those projects that cut across provincial boundaries, there is a need for national to be, in certain cases, the license authority.
For B still concurrent, concurrent. So national got powers to do it.
Pollution control.
And you know that there's section 125 2B, which allows you to take it as a national administrative competence. You can move it from the municipality or the province if they're not doing it properly. Like we've done recently in the legislation with something else, with EIAs.
Certainly we'll get to
that. That's not worrying. Will you do me a small memo, the legal section, on the legal framework for this? Let me have a look at it.
On the license.
Because this thing is here, there's been a 4B previously. And you see it as a 4B, and therefore the issuing permits were only done at other levels other than national. And you said district, you said
metros
and
provinces.
None of them have any capacity in this one. They don't know what the hell is going on. Where the district municipality going to know anything about pollution? Huh? Can't even do the... Okay, let me go there. This is serious. I want you to let me look at how you, as a department, see the use here, the legal framework of air quality, so that I can see where we can make interventions. Okay.
Listen, we are coming with a bill that amends this specific aspect.
You know me. Soon this committee is soon gone. We only have less than a year left. Want to bring any legislation, you should have brought it yesterday. You've seen how long it takes to process bills. You do it properly. And it takes time. So you guys, these things you want to do it, you've now got a committee here that understands the issues. The next committee that comes in doesn't understand any of those things again. It takes another 5 years for them to get used to it. Probably with a new minister, with a new deputy minister, with a new DG, with a new everything again. New district municipalities, new provinces, everything changes, then we'll have to learn again about this. There's another 5 years, never mind. So, as I've said already previously to you guys, if you want to bring legislation, you must do it rapidly. You don't do it, it's gone. You're going to have to deal with a new committee. But let me look at that, see what we've got in terms of how we see the legal framework, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, any follow-up? Huh?
Chair, I was just checking if the department have already dreamt about the concept of ecological infrastructure. So maybe we need to ask. I'm just checking with the department because I think in other countries they are using this ecological infrastructure. I'm just checking. Because the thing that I'm talking about, if we can start investing in this ecological infrastructure, maybe it will not assist.
I think we're starting, as Minister said in her speech, we're starting to think about it. Mm-hmm. But, for example, on the President's Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, they don't have a SIP for ecology or for environment yet, mm-hmm. but they are busy arguing for a SIP. I think SIP 8, no, SIP
19.
I know water is one of them. But so there's that thinking that's starting to take place and it's been conceptualized. Mm. But I don't think it's reached the stage which you're saying it. Mm. So hopefully in the next while, Mark, we'll start getting there with that. Okay. You want to add something to that, to the question?
I think you've covered it, but just to say also that it's a recognition that ecosystem services in our country are not only under threat, but they're absolutely critical to economic and social development and ultimately quality of life. So it's really about investing in those ecosystem services in many different contexts, whether you're looking at it at a catchment level, at a local authority level, at a airshed level, to some extent. Mm. So I think it certainly is on the agenda. And the first real hard conceptualization is starting to take place within the context of the COVID-19.
Okay, any other issues before I summarize?
You better.
Okay, I basically already said to you guys that what we want is, as far as this is concerned, our main task was to make sure you consulted properly, you feel you have, and then you've consulted further. You've created your technical structure. You've now reached a stage where you've agreed to certain things which you can change, but also there's a few ongoing issues. There's a deadline for that, and then hopefully a month or so after that we'll start seeing where we go, and we'll have a set of new standards for industrial emissions and so on. So that is quite advanced. I think all you need to do is just report to us and what's gone on further. Whatever decisions you take, of course, those are your decisions. As a part. The second issue is on the mining. It seems that we've again been left in the dark about this, but in fact there is work being done, which is these coal dust or what mine dust control regulations and so on. On that issue, we wanted a package with all these things in it, plus a little memo to explain us what is being done and so on. And hopefully in there, you'll see that some of the things that we've raised as possibilities will hopefully be a part of those regulations. I mean, so there is some advanced work on that one. Then on the one of the domestic burning of coal and so on, obviously there's much work has been done, and we've asked to have a report by the end of the year with proper, not their strategy and their words, with proper possibilities on how to deal with it. One of them has been mentioned as offset and how that will work and whether it's possible and so on and so on and so on. So at least we start tackling this issue. And then of course this legal, how we legally see the issue of air quality being 4B, that clearly we need to get that memo also from them. I think those are all the issues really. Last week we also gave you some tasks. I remember the issues of mercury and black carbon and your air quality amendment bill. We already told you last week already it needs to, I thought you will have it here this week, but I see it's still not here. So let's hopefully we'll move on all those stuff. What it does mean in future is that I think we need to place air quality as a more regular feature on our agenda. That it becomes part of reporting to us as climate change is, air quality should also become there. We'll still see what format. Obviously, it's a bit easier than climate change in the sense that there aren't so many departments in that involved. You know, with all these other role players, if I knew that last week, I would have had them there. If I knew there were so many other role players. I mean, I wasn't aware of it to the extent that I've heard today. So, provincial government, for example, what is their capacity, district municipalities, and district district metros, not district, metros. So I think there's a lot of good work we've done. I think we've got a better understanding of where we stand with the air quality. As we saw yesterday, it does seem that in the last few years things are in most areas getting better, except in the particulate and this domestic consumption. It definitely seems very problematic. It doesn't seem problematic. It's more or less stayed where it is, whereas others have gone down. So it's quite clear when you look at that, that is where we're not making any inroads. And hopefully these two other initiatives now will start dealing with that. And hopefully that will start showing some good results. I hope I've covered everything. Ma, miss something?
Jefferson, I just want to... I seem not to get it right. The code from townships, what settlement, former settlement. I just want to get it right from the department, whether we just say, well, that one, we cannot do anything about it. Well, it's difficult and so much that maybe let's just leave it as it is, because the people, they are, I really, there isn't something that says maybe we can try something. But what I heard, it was just, oh, that one, it's normal.
What they said is there is a strategy which I haven't seen. I don't know if some of you seen it, but I haven't seen it yet. So there is a strategy which means that a whole lot of departments have to play a role on that issue. So there is a strategy. So what I've asked them to do is put together a package for us with that strategy and with a memo of some of the things they have done and some of the things they're planning. Then I've also said that before the end of the year, they must have had all their meetings with these other departments and then it's come with a more specific action plan on the specifics of what they're going to do. So these are offset stuff they spoke about. So that you try and get, when you build houses in a township, you don't not put electricity in, because that means that people are going to use coal. So the offset will be, if you want to build a house, you'll do the following, so that people can have electricity there, or whatever. So that will be part of the offset. It will be housing, for example. They'll have to meet that department and see what's possible. So that, because every time you build a house, that leaves it up to people what they want to use for energy. What are they going to do? They're going to buy the cheapest coal that anyone wants to sell to them on the street. They're going to buy that and they're going to burn it and you're going to get the cloud. There's dust in the townships. All of us know. A lot of townships still have dirt roads. They don't have tar roads. So where do you think that dust goes? It goes in particular, it goes with that coal, with the benzene burning, with the primer stoves, with the coal things, they're all going up in the air, and all of it's clouding up there. That's what's happening, plus the dust. So what we've now said on this one, Ma, is they must go and sit and come with specific plans on things, not words and strategies. This is what we're going to do. We are coming with a subsidy for this to do that. When houses are going to be built, we're going to do this now. You know, so whatever they go, I don't know what they're going to tell us, but we wanted to come with something particular on that stuff, okay?
Thank
so
you
I don't think they've not left it alone, but it is something that they haven't got solutions for yet. It's only a strategy.
Thank you.
Okay? All right. So that one I want you to prioritize, Ms. Beaumont. Doctor, please. This one must be prioritized. Before this committee ends itself, we want to see that something concrete is on the table, and that we're going to do something about the townships. Okay? All right. Everyone happy? Right. Now, that, I think, is the end of our program for the term almost. The only outstanding things we have is the minutes that are left over for the I don't know how long it was, but it's, is it for a term or two terms? Two terms. I don't know how far those minutes are. We'll have to see tomorrow. The only other report outstanding still is the Dua budget vote report. Remember, we got a report, but we weren't happy with it. I just haven't had time to sit down and finalize it. I don't think I'll be able to do it before tomorrow. So just remember that is an outstanding report. But we've done our debates and so on. So it's not as if we weren't aware of it. It's just that our report is not a finalized product. Okay. So I think those are the only outstanding things. Then, as I said, it looks like all study groups, study tours are going to now be cancelled for the rest of the existence of this parliament. I'm not going to comment on how foolish I think that is, but be that as it may, I don't make those decisions. What that means, if that is correct, then we won't have necessarily any trips like the one we wanted to do China with the climate change and the water and the environment. But we'll still have to do other oversight work, and I'll have a look at that possibility. Yes, ma'am.
Maybe I thought we were going to give us 2 minutes to say something about it. Is the department also affected about overseas?
No. It's only Parliament. We as members of Parliament, we need approval for our trips, both financially and politically. And it looks like some decision has been taken somewhere that there aren't going to be such trips anymore. I imagine it's got something to do with the elections. The only problem is the election only next year in May sometimes, so you know, Parliament grinds to halt a year before because of something that's going to happen next year, but okay. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, well, the less, I suppose, one gives adjectives, the less you're going to get into trouble. Maybe that's a good reason I won't be an expert. If I say what I think about this decision. But the fact of the matter is, members, is that's not my decision. I mean, you know what our decision is. Our decision is we wanted to go and look at these best practices in a developing country like China. These things are being looked at. Unfortunately, it may not be so. So we need to do the best we can. I have now received a program for the rest of the year. I received it in my sick bed. So I'll now look for our program for the rest of the year. But there you know there's a lot of issues outstanding. We've got the integrated management bill we have with us. We need to do hearings. I don't know if we have received any submissions. We've only received one or two submissions, so we can quickly do public hearings there. Looks like people are not interested in their ocean. Only Transnet, whose property is being affected, are giving input. So that one, we've got the green paper on oceans. We've got the climate change hearings. We've got the EIA hearings. I want to do another set of workshop on the rhino. So there's a whole lot of very big issues for next term. And I'll sit and draft a program for that so we can get it to you as soon as possible. For the rest of the year, really. Fit all that stuff. Plus, there's a lot of bills they want to bring, but it looks to me that that's going to be too late. Because we hear about them, we just don't see them. I know the one... Is that SOAR's bill, is it in process?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is it through Cabinet?
Yes.
Through Cabinet. It's published for public comment, but it will go directly to Parliament. And
public comment?
Yeah, we have three more bills that is in Cabinet tomorrow. Cabinet Committee tomorrow.
Okay, so there you are. A nice long program.
Yes.
So the whole December recess, you'll be sitting in meetings and so on.
Yeah. No recess.
That must come quickly. So I'll try and do the program as soon as I can. So tomorrow, let's meet 9:30. Have you got enough minutes for us to look at? Or are we going to waste our time here? How many? Seven.
What?
There's only 7 minutes for tomorrow. If they draft it, as I said, they should be drafted. They should be short. So can we say we meet at 10 tomorrow? So that you don't have to rush in. 10 tomorrow, we'll take about half an hour just to go through the minutes. That will be our last meeting, and then obviously people will say their goodbyes. You can do that. Prepare your large speeches for it, so you can say goodbye to the committee. I know it takes long. That's the longest speech you ever prepare. to say goodbye to your colleagues, and that'll be the last work here for the term. And then the rest of it, you'll just might have to wait and see until I've received word what we're allowed to do as a committee and what we're not allowed to do, whether we're going to do anything. And then the recess stops on the start, that you start Parliament on the 22nd of July.
That's correct, yeah.
So I'll get all that detail for you tomorrow, so we can just finalize and do all that, okay? Any comments on that from the members? Ma?
I'm proposing those rhino workshop. Maybe we must do it out of Parliament and have somewhere where we
actually
can.
Actually, that's a very good idea.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Enjoy and do it, because it will also motivate some members who have never gone out, like myself, been out, going to in and out of China. So other members, that's why I'm so vocal. Other members, I have never ever.
Maybe we should have that workshop in Vietnam.
Like in
we can go check actually how the stuff is used. No. I think the rhino one we'll do something like that. Okay, that's definitely a good idea. Just to kind of connect on some of these issues again, we had the workshop. We had follow-up, but then we've not done anything again. A lot of speeches were about the rhinos, so I think we need a follow-up to try and see what momentum there is or no momentum, what input we want to get. You will remember the stockpile thing is a big issue, which we haven't resolved yet. I want answers from the department about that. Okay, so we'll see each other at 10 tomorrow, eh?
Yes.
Sorry, Charlie, yours?
You didn't do me chance.
Sorry, I apologize. Can I just humbly
prostrate
myself for you?
No, you are not aware, Okay.
I was in a hurry to go and eat, Charlie.
No. Yes, I just say the political chief is against it, then I wish tomorrow his secretary must bring all the passports back to the order members, including all this application form.
Well, as I said, I haven't received an official answer yet, so if that is so, we'll sort out all that.
Tomorrow is the last day.
Yeah. Then we'll sort it out. Tomorrow or Thursday. Thursday, you're sitting here till, I think, 8 o'clock. Thursday night is the last. So you'll get your passport before 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Thursday night. If that's been cancelled, okay? Anything else? Okay. 10 o'clock, where is it? 3549. You win up there. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to the department. Thank you.
The new national setting by the restaurant.
No, we basically. Oh, yes, we did. Sorry, we did the MMS. We did that first. Apologies.
Regulation. Political opposite. mention that.
Thank you very much.